little new planets we have out there?
Oh, yeah, the three around the pulsar.
What's a pulsar?
Well, stars like human beings or dogs or cats or gerbils have a limited lifetime. Our sun is a small yellow dwarf star. It'll burn its fuel for about 10 billion years. Right now, we're about halfway in a gas tank.
Wow.
But there are much larger stars called red giants. Yeah. They are the stars at the last stage of their life.
So will our star become a red giant eventually?
Yes, it will.
If it works hard, does its homework and studies and telling.
It'll become a red giant because it's exhausting its fuel of hydrogen. Stars work by taking 570 million tons of hydrogen and forcing it together under about 10 million degrees of heat and millions and billions of pounds of pressure into helium. It's called nuclear fusion. Eventually, it's going to exhaust its fuel of hydrogen and it'll begin to swell up, become a red giant star.
Then what will happen to us?
Well, basically, Mercury and Venus will be engulfed by the sun, and the oceans will boil away, and the atmosphere will burn off, and it'll become a burnout cinder.
What will happen to us? So,
well, hopefully, in 5 billion years, we're smart enough to leave and find a younger star to hang out with.
All right.
Now,
so what's a pulsar?
When a red giant dies, when it actually all the fires cease, the star begins to collapse. There's no outward pressure from the nuclear fusion. So it gets smaller and smaller until it reaches a point where it can't shrink anymore. And then you have this rebounding of material on the inside, and there's a huge explosion called a supernova.
Aha!
All right. But you have to have a star at least 3 to 5 times bigger than our sun in order for that to happen.
Uh-huh.
But not all the stars destroyed. The midst of the material on the outside of the star is cast off into space, forming these huge, beautiful nebulae, these large clouds. But what's left is the very heart of the star. What happens, because of the explosion, all the material and all the energy trapped in the very core of the star is trapped in there, and it's coming out from one hot spot. And because of the explosion, it's spinning very fast. So from a person far off in space, they would see this thing spinning at them with like a beacon, like a lighthouse gone on acid.
Cool.
Spinning very, very fast.
Wow.
The first pulsar was discovered by using radio telescopes back in 1968.
And that's a pulsar, the thing, the acid.
That spinning thing.
The lighthouse.
Like a mad lighthouse. They found it in the constellation of Taurus. What happened was they found this very regular signal, this pulsing, at 33 times a second. And the woman who was working on the team, Jocelyn Bell, first thought it was a signal from another civilization out in space. So they nicknamed the thing LGM, which stood for Little Green Men.
Whoa.
But eventually discovered it was the heart of the star after it exploded in the year 1054 AD. And because it pulses regularly, it's called a pulsar. Now, a pulsar is, imagine something as large as the Earth,
mm-hmm,
with a hot beam of energy shooting out into space.
Okay.
Spinning 33 times a second.
Is that fast?
That's very fast.
Neutron star was like...
Well, that's when it's when pulsar exhausts all the energy in the core.
Jim just contradicting our science expert.
No. He's got a point. He's getting ahead of me here. When all the energy comes out of the pulsar, it becomes a dead star. Nothing but because the gravity is so intense, nothing but neutrons is there, and that's called a neutron star. Now, if a star is much bigger than that, instead of exploding a supernova and then have a pulsar, it'll keep shrinking until it becomes an invisible dot, what physicists call a singularity. Most folks call it a black hole.
Ah! So what's this got to do with the new planets? You said they're around a pulsar.
That's right.
I was going to make a bad joke about having a supernova with the 305 in it and hooker headers, but I didn't. I just let you know that I refrained from doing
Thank
that.
Thank you so much.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Okay.
Well, see, apparently, they've discovered three planets around this star that has died.
Where's this at?
It's
where's this pulsar? This is the pulsar that the woman
pulsar
found and nicknamed Little Green
No,
Man.
That's in Taurus. The one with the planets, this is another pulsar. They're all throughout the sky. This is the constellation Virgo.
Ah, the Virgin.
Right. And it's approximately, according to the newspaper article here, 1,500 light years away, which means...
Is that far?
I'll explain. A light year is how far a beam of light travels in a year. According to Einstein, a light beam is the fastest thing in the universe, traveling 186,000 miles a second, or 6 trillion miles in a year. So, when you see something that's 1,500 light years away, that means the light we see from it right now left there 1,500 years ago. We're seeing it not as it is now, but as it was 1,500 years ago.
But is that far away in astronomical terms?
Astronomical, that's relatively close.
Okay.
It's not that far from us.
But there might be three new planets around it.
Yep. They discovered them. Three planets.
There are. It's confirmed. There are three new planets.
It's confirmed. They are there.
Hello, Rob. You're on the air.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, Chris.
Long time no hear from, homeboy. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
Living life and loving it, baby.
We're talking to John Shore of the Cincinnati Planetarium.
Holy moly.
There was an eclipse today.
And also they have the U2 and Led Zeppelin
Pink Floyd
laser shows.
We've covered that topic exhaustively.
How come they never have, like, a Romantics laser light show?
The Romantics only has one hit.
The Knack.
You can do, like, a remix of What I Like About You.
What, laser shows or one-hit wonders?
They also had Talking in Your Sleep.
I don't know if we could do one-hit wonder laser shows. We'll have to check with Ivan on that. Ivan, if you're still listening, talk to Chris about doing a one-hit wonder laser show.
Tommy Two Tone, The Knack, The Romantics,
Quiet Riot,
Katrina and the Waves,
Quiet Rocket Riot,
Seagulls.
Who else?
I think you're into something here.
A Twisted Sister.
Oh, Lord.
That would be a good one.
Rob, what's your favorite celestial
Stuff
object?
From the Ace Frehley solo career.
Back in the New York group.
You're being silly.
I'm being wacky.
Okay, so what's your favorite celestial object?
My favorite celestial, black holes.
Why do you like black holes so much?
They're just fascinating. Do they really exist?
Do you know what science is called black holes?
What is science called black holes?
A singularity.
What's that mean?
What means?
He just covered that.
It's a singular object.
All the matter of the star as they condensed into an invisible small dot.
Did you catch that?
Well, if it's like a small dot, then how come, like, spaceships are afraid of them?
Well, first off,
why would you be afraid of them?
They're too far away for us to reach right now.
What?
They're
too far away for us.
They're out of our reach right now.
So how do you know they exist?
Because.
Oh, okay.
Basically, we know their existence. It's a theory. It's not proven yet, but there are candidates we think are black holes.
Well, if how material, did they get them in that movie?
I'll explain. Because material. Now, forget the Disney movie, okay?
Okay.
We're talking about real life here.
Oh.
As material is pulled into the black hole, material builds up around the black hole in something called an accretion disk. As material falls into this disk, as it falls into the black hole, X-ray radiation is created and released.
Yeah.
And we can detect that with X-ray telescopes on the Earth and also in orbit up in space. The best candidate for a black hole is in the constellation of Cygnus the Swan. It's called Cygnus X1 because it's the first source of X-rays detected in the constellation Cygnus.
Did you catch all that?
Yeah, so where does all the stuff that gets sucked into it go?
That's a good question. Nobody knows. Some people have guessed maybe it goes to a different part of the universe and comes out of a white hole with some material streaming out. Or it sucks material until it has so much stuff, it'll eventually revert or change into a white hole and spit out. That's not for me. That's from Stephen Hawking.
Maybe it comes out like a black head, and every time somebody pops like a zit, planet residue comes out.
Wow, that finally explains what that stuff is.
See, I'm always thinking. I have a very scientific mind.
You're always wondering.
I can see that, like a steel trap.
Thank you very much.
So did you get up in time to watch the eclipse, or did you have to sleep through it?
No, I sleep all day because of the overnight gig, you know? Working overnights does that to you. You miss daylight. I'm vampire-like in that respect.
But you're surrounded by stars every morning.
Exactly.
Jerry and Janine.
Jerry Thomas and Janine Coyle, what more do you need? I walk out, Jim Scott says hi to me.
Yeah, I talked to them this morning.
Really? You were on with Jim Scott or
Jerry and Janine?
I'm on with Jerry Thomas and Janine.
Well, so was John. John was yesterday morning.
John who?
John, our guest, and you just got done harassing.
Oh, he was on Jerry Thomas' show yesterday?
Yeah, 6:30.
I always sleep through it. I never hear it.
Oh, okay.
I get off here at 5 o'clock. I go do the great 550 bus stop talent search with a mobile phone, and then I go to bed.
You're having more fun here than you did on the Jerry Thomas show, though, aren't you?
Well, no, because I got paid to be on Jerry Thomas' show.
Oh, yeah, they're talking to me. Sorry about that, Ryan. But I'm pumped.
I wasn't even listening. I'm sorry. I'm watching boxing on USA.
Oh, boy.
Hector Macho Camacho.
He's still around?
Trying to regain his former glory.
Nobody's beat his ass yet?
It's still the first round.
I thought Chavez beat him up and he quit.
Yeah, well, he's back and he's better than ever.
Great.
Oh, he went downhill ever since his ego ran in completely insane and he started doing all kinds of goofy
stuff. After he beat up Boom Boom, I think he just kind of shot his wad.
That happened with me, too. That's why I got into radio.
Yeah. Got beat. You beat up Boom Boom and shot your wad.
Exactly. All without leaving Newport.
Amazing.
All right, Rob.
I don't know what that meant.
We got a split. We thank you very much for your phone call. We got tons of young astronomers out there, though, trying to talk to John.
Did you hear Bob Barker?
No, but I saw your name in the paper because of it.
Bob Barker was amazing. He's an amazing man.
What was Bob Barker doing in town?
We just talked to him. I called L.A.
Who's we?
Huh?
Who's we? I'm letting you plug your show here.
I just talked to him on over the phone the day before, so we taped it. I did a half-hour interview with him.
For what?
For the 550 Bar and Grill on every Saturday night on 550 WCKY, 9 to midnight.
I know you get around to it eventually.
Yeah, well,
you know. How was it? He really doesn't like that one chick showing her tits all the time, does he?
Well, I mentioned how much I appreciated it.
Diane?
He skirted around it basically saying, well, she left the show to pursue other interests. And I took it from there.
Talk about black holes.
Thank you.
All right. I'll talk to you later, Rob.
That would imagine the wind force sucking you into that one.
Vortex, baby. Vortex is spinning out of control.
I wonder what the G's would be like on that.
Buckle in.
Thank you.
Later.
See ya.
749-1444. Everyone, I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
Day destroys the night.
And night divides the day.
And together,
we're breaking on through to the other side.
The phone number here is 749-1444. Our topic is outer space. Major Tom, you're on the air with Chris and Rob.
Yeah, take your protein pills and put your helmet on. How are you guys doing this evening?
We're okay. How are you doing this evening?
Goody, goody, goody. I'm doing just great, great, great. My planetary question is, will planets or their moons ever collide?
Will planets or their moons ever collide?
Yep.
Yep. There you go.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
Wait. Okay, yeah, they will. What's going to happen? What's going to make them collide?
Yeah, what planets, like, are expected to collide, you know?
Well, you're talking about in terms of millions, if not... Legend Carl Sagan take the trademark here, billions of years for what's going to happen. If you look at the rings of Saturn,
okay.
There are several astronomers who believe that there are moons of Saturn that have been pulled in by Saturn's gravity and gotten too close to it, and they reach a place called the Roche limit. And when they reach that point, that distance away from Saturn, the gravitational pull of Saturn tears them apart. And that's what some people believe make up the rings of Saturn. A couple of moons have gotten too close and have been shredded.
Wow!
So it's like a big sandpaper dial going on there on the planet Saturn.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. They're, yeah. They're people think the rings are so smooth. Sorry, go ahead, Major Tom.
So they're taking chunks off the each of the moons, is that right?
Well, no. A couple of moons have gotten too close and they've been shredded into chunks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. Now, you know, there's like... Earth has had its share of, almost collisions with asteroids.
What do you mean almost? Well, it's happened, bud.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, where you been, huh?
Well, he wasn't around 65 million years ago. We can't blame the guy.
Oh, okay.
Okay, you're starting to learn the sarcastic...
How do you think dinosaurs died? Here,
huh? We're taking John under our wing, and Rob and I are going to teach him everything he needs to know
to go far in this world. But, I mean, you know, if planets were to collide, what would it cause?
A big mess.
I'm sorry?
It'd be a very big mess. You're talking about, let me explain. Each of the planets in our solar system are separated by millions of miles.
Very much.
And it's going to take something very extreme, like another star accidentally wandering through our system,
right,
to cause one planet to slam into another. Now, there are planetoids, chunks of rock, which are as big as a house. The biggest one's called Ceres. It's 600 miles wide. They're wandering all through the solar system. Occasionally, those will hit a planet or a moon. I think the moon got all the craters, or meteor crater out in Arizona. Just chunks of this loose space rock occasionally.
Well, how big of a chunk would it take
to knock the Earth off its axis or to knock us out of orbit or to do something bad.
There's the question. Thank you.
There's nothing that we know of in the solar system that's big enough to do that.
If that started coming at us, could we, like, launch a death ray at it?
There is work being that was done for NASA in 1991 and 1992 to design, first off, to see, do we really need a defense for this and how we do it? And there, in next year's budget, is a proposal to build 6 automated telescopes around the planet that would search and look for any of these rocks.
Give me a break. We're wasting money on that.
Hold on. Other governments are sharing in the $50 million that's doodly squat for the federal government. They spend more than $1 billion a day. $50 million's nothing. Mm. You're talking about if something large enough that we have detected did hit the Earth, it could cause major crop damage, maybe even the collapse of our climate as we know it.
They turn us into big bowling balls and we just
go
hitting
boom.
All the other planets and knocking them all out of alignment.
So there's
our bowling balls. I think we're due to call the Western Bowl here in a minute.
Hey, I'm a plug-in, man.
Are you?
Yeah.
All right.
Plug in for Brentwood Bowl even. Why don't you guys call there?
Are they open this late?
I think so.
Give me their number.
I don't know it.
We'll go
we
look
just
it
said
up.
Get it, didn't we?
You didn't say get it. You said
get me the number.
And offhand, I don't have my,
All right, well, look for your phone book and call us back, Major.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you, sir.
All right. See you, Mitch, Tom.
That brings up a good question. What is the best outer space rock song? Is it Space Oddity? Is it Rocket Man by Elton John? Is it, I don't know, Dawning of the Age of Aquarius?
Oh, no, that's astrology. Sorry.
Any other space rock songs?
Dark Side of the Moon.
Dark Side of the Moon, yeah, the whole thing. Which one's your fave?
My favorite? Rock song would have to be the Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon. A single song.
Good morning, Western Bowl. Nope, I can help you.
Hi, Milt. Is this the Western Bowl?
Yes, this is.
Well, hi, I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together, we're the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. And we were wondering if you got a chance to see the eclipse today.
Yes, I did.
Even though you work overnight, you weren't sleeping through it, huh?
I was off last night, so I was up wide awake early this morning.
Great. What'd you think?
Pretty neat.
Really? Guess who's with us right now?
You
probably couldn't care less, but we're going to tell you anyway. We have with us right here in the studio, John Schroer, who is the manager and big guy in charge of the Cincinnati Planetarium.
Good morning, sir.
And he knows everything that there is to know about outer space. And if you have any questions about today's eclipse or anything in outer space or maybe even bowling tips, John is your man.
Okay.
Would you like to ask him anything?
I'll have to turn your show on.
88.3 FM.
Put it all through the bowling alley.
Yeah.
Can you put it all through the bowling alley?
No, I don't have radio capabilities here. I got a little clock radio here, though.
Okay.
And you're about the only station I can pick up on it.
Wow. All
right. Awesome.
That's a good radio, then.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyhow.
How come we only got 87%?
We did. We got 92.5%.
Well, actually, it was pretty close to 87%. The reason is the line, which we've seen the total ring of the sun around the moon, was north of us, up through Indianapolis. Actually, it started in El Paso, Texas, went through St. Louis, Fort Wayne, Toledo, Cleveland.
Wapakoneta,
all through there, all the way up through Halifax and Nova Scotia. We were too far south of the line to get a total ring eclipse or annular eclipse. Mm-hmm. That's why we only got a partial. But heck, it was the first time in like 8 years we've had a clear sky to watch any kind of eclipse, so I'm thrilled.
Who can we complain to about that?
Weather guys, perhaps? Half time, you don't know whether to believe them or not, for Pete's sake.
Yeah.
I gave Mike Beresh, Channel 12, a lot of heck about that. It's like, this lack of cooperation.
Well, I got a question for Milt. Hey, Milt, do you think maybe you could, get one bowling ball and paint it orangish yellow, and then get another bowling ball and paint it kind of a gray color, and, have an eclipse right there using the orange ball to be the sun and the other ball to be the moon, and
you'd have to get a tennis ball to be the
Earth. We don't have to pay them. We've already got them known colors.
You have them all those colors?
Yes.
Well, maybe you could hook up some kind of deal with John here, and you could set up this bowling ball thing and get a tennis ball. I guess the tennis ball would be the moon. The tennis ball would be the smallest one, right? So what would be a sun? If the Earth is a bowling ball, what would be the sun?
Something the size of Western Bowl.
You're no fun.
Hey, Milt?
Yes.
John now, he has some questions about bowling. I mean, we asked you if you had any questions about astronomy to ask him. Well, now we're going to turn the tides on John here, and we're going to let him ask you a question about bowling, and then we'll cut this thing off, okay?
Sure. Real quick, how does guys get the severe hooks when they're bowling? I've tried to do that, and I have no clue how the heck they do that.
It's the way the fingers come out of the ball.
There you go. It's all in the fingers. All
right, I'll remember that next time. Thank you.
Well, thanks,
Milt. You're welcome.
Thank you, Milt.
You're welcome.
Keep turning on the radio show. It's the Chris and Rob Talk Show, and tell all your bowling patrons to tune in.
Sure will.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
John, how many times a day when you got a whole group of school brats there, do you hear jokes about Uranus?
Well, invariably, all the teachers have taught the kids that that's the way they say the name of the planet is Uranus. The proper pronunciation is Uranus. So I keep telling the teachers, listen, we're talking about astronomy here, not biology. Don't get the two confused, otherwise it could be a real mess.
Okay, we're going to play a song here, and when we get back, we're going to start hunting down the charts and see what the big hit singles are. We'll be right back. Hi, I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And it's time for
Hamburger Facts of the Month.
Okay, here's Jim, our science editor at the Chris and Rob Talk Show, with some hamburger facts, because as you know, May is National Hamburger Month. Go, Jim.
The Hamburg steak was brought into the United States in the early 1800s by German settlers. At first, the name applied to any minced meat that was formed into a patty and broiled. In the early 1900s, the Hamburg steak was first surrounded by a bun, thus giving birth to the name hamburger. Yeah. By the 1930s, Americans were calling hamburgers Wimpy Burgers, inspired by the insatiable hamburger addict named J. Wellington Wimpy from the cute old Popeyes comic strip. In England, Wimpy is still a synonym for ground-up cow burgers.
Thanks, Jim. Without you, we couldn't have Hamburger Month. So it is Hamburger Month, and Chris and Rob are celebrating Hamburger Month.
And thanks to the fine folks at White Castle for sending us that information.
Right. Okay. You know what I was wondering?
What?
I was wondering what the big hit singles are these days. What are the kids listening to? What's up and coming in the music industry?
You know, there's one place you could find out. The furniture of rock and roll.
You think we should call 97X and find out what's really hip these days?
Find out from the furniture of rock and roll what's going on. That's what Billy Bragg called it. Is that right? 97X, the furniture of rock and roll.
Wow,
is that right?
It's busy. Somebody else must be finding out what the big hit singles are.
That's the way it goes in radio.
Okay, our phone number here is 749-1444, and we're taking your calls. Our topic is outer space. We'll talk hamburgers, too.
How do the kids act when they come in for those outer space shows? Are they generally well-behaved? And let's name names here. Which schools are punks? In which schools are fine, upstanding young Cincinnatians?
Well, most of the kids do behave pretty well. There are a couple of schools which are...
Name them.
Notorious.
Dang it. Name them.
Name them? Gee, dare
I? Don't, then.
Yeah, name them.
All right.
Elementary schools or high schools or middle schools? What?
Middle schools.
Middle schools are the worst?
They know it all, and they don't care what you have to tell them.
6, 7, 8, 9 grades.
Right? Yeah.
So which ones are the worst?
Middle schoolers. 7th, 8th, and 9th graders.
Okay, which schools?
Which schools are the worst?
Yes, from which communities?
Well, we
How
had...
are the Hamilton schools?
Hamilton schools aren't too bad.
How about the Norwood schools?
Not bad either. Lakota.
Ah, Jim!
Hellraiser.
That's where those guys that got all that money.
I only went there 2 years.
They're so rich and they're so bored, and they think they know everything out there.
World Silver Spoon American Brass.
So there you have it, America. Lakota High, a bunch of punks. Well, or Lakota Middle school.
Yeah.
Bunch of rich punks. So what's the most fulfilling part of your job over there at the planetarium?
When the kids come for the shows and they have lots of questions, I mean really sharp questions about the planets or about stars, about black holes, about things you've read in the paper like the comet hitting Jupiter, lots of questions.
But don't you get tired of like the same questions over and over again?
I don't get the same questions.
You don't?
They come up with some really stuff out of left field. They really do.
Like what? Like what's the most interesting question a kid ever asked you?
The most interesting question I had from a kid was, well, if the sun is a ball of
a ball of gas, how can we get all this light and heat from it?
Well, duh.
Well, yeah, he no doy.
You know, to use the language of the kids.
Yeah.
And what your answer was?
Well, it's kind of hard to explain to a kid the dynamics of thermonuclear fusion.
Hey, do you think we'll ever have cold fusion?
I hope so.
That'd be cool.
We're working on hot fusion. The big problem with that, of course, is when you get the temperature so hot, you have to keep it bottled up with a magnetic field.
Ah.
And we can get the hot enough, we can get the magnetic field, but we only keep it both going at the same time for just milliseconds. They keep on talking about maybe another 20 to 30, 40 years, we'll have it. And that means we're going to have unlimited power on the Earth.
Wow.
I mean, talking about, you could have a $200,000 house with everything going in the whole place, constantly, and you'd have like a 20 buck or a 5 buck electric bill.
That'd be cool. We could run a radio station then.
Oh, yeah.
How big is the telescope over at the planetarium? Do you have a nice one?
We have three telescopes. We have a 13-inch reflector telescope, which we use for viewing the stars and such.
Is that is it the industry standard, or is that a little bit better, a little bit below?
A little bit bigger. We also have an 8-inch reflector telescope, which we used today to look at the eclipse.
What's 8-inch refer to? What's 13-inch refer to?
The diameter of the mirror. Thank you, Jim.
Jim, I'm done. See, Jim doesn't understand this little fact about radio. You do that so people know. You don't just have to show off constantly.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen. Now we're calling 97X.
97X.
Hi, is this 97X?
It sure is.
Well, I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together, we're the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
Hi.
How is the future of rock and roll coming along?
Oh, it's just coming real nicely.
Are you playing all the hits tonight?
Oh, definitely.
What's your most requested hit been tonight?
Well, you know what? I just got off the phone with somebody, and they've been calling all night for Dr. Zombie.
Really?
Yes. They've been calling all night for I Saw a Zombie in the Window.
Oh, you mean that new song by Dr. Zombie?
Yep.
Well, what's it sound like?
It is just, it's awesome. I mean, it blends together psychedelic and hip-hop and everything. It's just
so kind of hypnotic then, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. I'm always surprised whenever I find out that Dr. Zombie's climbing the charts.
Oh, it is unreal. The phone's been ringing off the hook.
Do you think Dr. Zombie's going to be doing any personal appearances?
Well, you know, I think he is. I mean, because the hit's been so good that why not? You know, you might as well push it some more.
Okay, well, we'll have to get to the bottom
that's
of this.
Why don't you get
to...
You going to call him?
We're going to try to call him in a little bit.
I think you should.
Okay. What's your favorite celestial object?
I don't know.
You don't know? Well, you know who we have in the studio with us tonight?
Who do you have in the studio?
We have John Schroer, the top dog of the Cincinnati Planetarium. He knows everything about outer space that there ever was to know.
Wow, that's interesting.
So is there anything you want to know about? He can fill you in.
Well, that's cool. Why don't you just write down the information and then just give it to me?
We'll fax it to you.
All right, okay. That sounds good.
Well, thanks for the big hot tip. We're going to get to the bottom of this Dr. Zombie craze.
You let me know what happens.
Always do.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
There you have it. The kids at the future of rock and roll love Dr. Zombie.
Jim, why don't you dial up Dr. Zombie and we can see what we can do about it.
He hasn't even begun to dial yet.
I know, he really should.
He really should.
So we can get to the bottom of the scandal. Find out if there's payola going down or something.
See, that's what the extension one.
Because you never know with this Dr. Zombie.
Can we have a sample of his work here?
We just might happen to have some. We might have that international dance craze that's sweeping the nation. The newest sensation.
You mean that song called I Saw a Zombie Through the Window?
Yeah, I Saw a Zombie at the Window. It's featured on the new Flintstone soundtrack album.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. The kids love it. Except he's Dr. Rock Zombie or Zombie Rock or something. So what's the third telescope? We got the 13-inch, the 8-inch, and then what's the third one?
The third telescope we have is another 8-inch reflector telescope. That's located out at the museum's Edge of Appalachia Preserve out in Adams County. We have day camps going on out there during the summertime. We have it out there to get people, the kids out there.
Do you let the kids look through it?
Yeah.
Yeah, session 414, please.
What size telescope do you have, Chris?
Pass it on down.
Chris has like a 2-inch or something.
I got a 2-inch at home. Got a 12-inch too, baby.
You do not.
Uh-huh.
How many times do you hear that joke?
All the time, I bet.
More.
More than I possibly...
You hear that more than the Uranus joke? You hear the more the 12-inch joke?
Oh, yeah.
You got a 13-inch one? That's pretty impressive.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, is this Dr. Zombie?
This is Dr. Zombie. Himself.
This is the real Dr. Zombie, the one we've been hearing so much about?
This is the real man.
I've been hearing that song, I Saw a Zombie Through the Window, is climbing the charts.
Of course it is. It's getting ready to climb the charts over here in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Is that where you're at tonight, is Knoxville, Tennessee?
Yeah, I told you I was over at the Gangster Suite at the Knights Inn on the outskirts of Knoxville, Tennessee, right next to Continental Joe's.
What's Continental Joe's?
This is hard country. I was wanting to tell you about that, the place I'm living at right now. Do I have an accent yet?
It's a hard country?
Yeah, the place I'm living at, Chris, is real hard country music.
Really? Well,
only about 30 minutes away, and when you go down to the college campus in downtown.
Knoxville, was at Tennessee State University or Knoxville State University?
Can you hear me?
Oh, you sure can.
What college is in Knoxville?
Right. The place I'm hanging out. I'm holed up. Listen to me, buddy. I'm holed up at the Gangster Suite at the Knights Inn.
The Gangster
Right next to Continental Joe's, and this is hard country place. But when you go downtown to the campus area, the students all dress up in grunge. And they got a grunge music. Grunge movement coming on at the college place, and they play that kind of stuff, that alternative stuff. And
what college is in Knoxville?
Right. I'm on the outskirts of Knoxville, but
right.
I'm gonna get my stuff played on the college station tomorrow. This girl.
So, what is a zombie doing in hard country of the Knoxville, Tennessee?
Hey, buddy, I had to move down here for the weather.
For the weather?
You know how my back was?
Is it warmer weather? Where are you originally from?
Oh, buddy. The weather here is nice and warm.
Is it? Dr. Zombie, where are you originally from? Alberta, Canada?
I'm from this place, buddy. I'm from Ohio.
You're from Ohio. What part of Ohio?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But you know what kind of we had that bad winter weather?
So how's the music career going for the Dr. Zombie band?
I'm doing good. I do some recording once in a while, but like I said, you know, it's kind of strange. The place that I live at right now is like hard country, and the college campus is all grunge. They dress in grunge.
Hey, what college is down there?
The University of Tennessee.
Okay, right.
Do I have an accent yet?
All them volunteers.
Working on it.
Yeah.
Working on it.
But, I play my stuff to the people down where I live, and they kind of look at me strange like I'm Satan or something, because they never heard that kind of stuff.
Why? It's not country, is it?
The college place is like all grunge movement, and I have to do a DJ show with, I told you about, you called me up earlier, you know that girl I told you about, Lisa?
Yeah.
She has a show, she calls it a Master and Servant Show. And she's a real nice girl, and I sent her a tape, and she played some stuff for Dr. Zombie.
You got a crush on her?
She's play my stuff tomorrow.
Do you have a zombie crush?
Right, but I can't get my... But the strange thing about it is I can't get my stuff played around here because this is all hard country.
Hey, Dr. Zombie, this is what I heard. I heard that down there at the college campus,
right.
Everything's like grunge and alternative,
yeah.
But like outside the college campus, it's like a hard country type place. Is that right?
Right. And it's only about 30 minutes away. The Cotton Eye Joe's is like a hard country place.
Cotton Eye Joe!
Where I'm living.
Where's a good place to get breakfast in Knoxville, Tennessee?
Oh,
right.
They serve pretty good food down here.
But next time I'm tooling through Knoxville, where should I stop for breakfast?
Right.
Oh, let's see. Boy, I worked at Cracker Barrel for a while. I haven't tasted the breakfast yet.
The Cracker Barrel is a good breakfast,
Cracker
huh?
Barrel.
Okay.
But anyway, about the music, it's kind of funny, the situation I'm in. I'm settled in at the place where everything's hard country, and I told you about the friends that I bring over and playing my music.
All right. Well, listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to play that new hit single, I Saw a Zombie Through the Window.
All right.
You got any new music that's going to be released soon?
I've got some music. You know how I recorded on the 4-track?
Uh-huh.
But I don't have a stereo, so I haven't mixed it, so I can't play it over the radio.
All right, well, when you get it mixed, you make sure you send it to the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show in Cincinnati.
Okay, but wait, before you guys hang up on me, let me tell you what's crazy about this place is there is some, you know how I work around this place?
Right.
The people that run this place are from India.
Wow.
And this Indian woman's starting a garden, mm-hmm. and I was helping her work her, you know, place out and stuff, and I went back to my motel room, and I caught some maids snooping around.
That's because they probably heard you were a zombie.
They were snooping around my room, and they saw my Dr. Zombie stuff, and they looked at me like I was Satan. Because they never seen or heard anything like that before.
Like Dr. Zombie?
You remember Vincent Living Skull?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they were looking at him, and all of a sudden, zombies on the button, and they couldn't believe it. They looked at me like, who's
this? You've got where a Vincent from? Vincent the Living Skull.
Yeah, but I'm in the hard country place, and less than 30
all right.
ways.
All right, man, we gotta go. Let's play your song now.
All right, you guys gotta stay on the line?
Sure. Hang on just a minute.
All right.
Here's Dr. Zombie with I Saw a Zombie Through the Window. Dr. Zombie, you heard it here first and probably last.
He's dating Madonna now, isn't he?
I heard. Okay, this is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And the phone number is
749-1444.
And we're taking your calls, and we still have a guest in the studio. He hasn't left yet.
For only the next 15 minutes, though. So,
got any questions about outer space, give a call. We've got John Shore from the Cincinnati Planetarium, and he had a busy day today because, I don't know. Who all came down to the planetarium today?
For the eclipse?
Yeah, you had a busy day today.
Oh, we had like five, 600 people over those 3 hours of the eclipse.
Who's that girl on Channel 9 with the, you know, big...
Who's the Miss America that now works for Channel 9? Was she
no,
there?
She didn't show up.
What's her name?
I was heartbroken. I don't know who...
Gretchen. Gretchen Carlson. Was okay. Gretchen Carlson there?
No.
What about Denise Dorey?
What about Norma?
No, they had Brian Petrick come down and...
Who's that?
The weather guy for Channel 9.
Oh, what a geek.
And they had Marty Perrette from Channel 5. And they had Mike Baresh from 12. And the new guy up 19.
I don't know. Who knows?
I can't remember.
No one cares.
But you didn't get Gretchen, you didn't get Denise, or you didn't even get Norma or Betsy. You're all about Melissa Ross.
Nope.
So anyhow.
Alice, shut out.
Okay. Oh, well. What about radio people? Any?
We had Matt Reeves from WW came by and talked about the eclipse and watched it.
He'd what? Play by play. And now the moon is in front of the sun. It's still in front of the sun.
Hello, John. You're on the air. John.
John, listen to your radio and not the phone.
Pardon?
Turn your radio up.
I don't have my radio on.
Oh, bugger.
John, say hi to John.
Hello, John.
Hi, John.
What's up?
I want to talk to Larry King, and I have a question for Ross Perot.
Go ahead.
Did you see the eclipse today, Ross?
Yeah.
Ross, you sound funny.
I have a cold.
I guess so.
But it was a darn fine thing, and I tell you what, it would have been a lot better if NAFTA would have went through. I think those Mexicans took 8%. We would have had 100% before the NAFTA, but then the Mexicans took our 8%.
Yep. I think you may have a point there.
Dull, but a point, yes.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You're a fine American.
Thank you, sir.
What do you do for a living, sir?
For a living, I work at the hospital.
And what do you do there?
I supervise people who clean the hospital.
So in other words, you're just a janitor.
A what?
You're a janitor, in other words.
Pretty much. But I'm one of the head ones. I'm one of the head janitors.
So you're the king of bedpans then, aren't you?
Pretty much, yeah.
You inspect all the bedpans there in the hospital.
That's right.
How many beds are in that hospital?
707.
So how many bedpans is that?
That's about 707.
You don't let anybody get up to go to the bathroom?
Well, no.
John, you're a sick, twisted human being.
Thank you very much. And coming from you, sir, it means a lot.
All right, thanks for your call.
Bye.
Well, I guess you told him.
Whatever.
749-1444. We're still taking your calls.
So what else is going on in the world of outer space?
Well, in July, there is going to be a comet discovered by David Levy, who you're going to have on next month, is going to be hitting Jupiter.
We talked about that a little while ago.
Yeah.
If you
but it's an unusual comet.
Why?
Why is it so unusual?
Because it's not a single chunk. 2 years ago, it flew within 30,000 miles of the cloud tops of Jupiter. It was broken in 26 individual pieces.
Who counted them?
Astronomers using the Hubble Space Telescope after it just got fixed.
Really?
And it's flying together like this huge string of pearls, just flying together out in space. When it hits Jupiter in July, it's going to be slamming into near the end of night on Jupiter. So 2 hours after each of these pieces slams into Jupiter, it's going to turn around and it'll actually spin around and be visible from here on the Earth.
Wow!
So we should see lots of interesting stuff happening to the clouds on Jupiter.
Pretty cool, and we're going to point the Hubble at that, aren't we?
Well,
yes.
It ruins the great red spot.
Are they going to point the big old Galileo thing that's flying by it?
Yes, Galileo's in just the right place to see all this happening.
That's one of them Voyager-type spacecraft, right?
Yep.
And they're going to aim it so they can look at the impact?
That's right.
That'll be cool.
And they'll have Hubble working on it, and they'll also have a bunch of observatories here on the Earth. Radio telescopes as well as telescopes that can catch light.
Even can regular people see it through binoculars or a telescope?
Well, through a telescope, you might see a couple of the small moons around Jupiter temporarily brighten a little bit. It's not going to be something that's going to be really obvious like the eclipse today. It's something, not something that the average person is going to notice unless they have a pretty good-sized telescope. But it is really interesting because it is the first time that we've actually seen a comet hit another planet as is actually happening. There are some people think a comet hit the Earth back in 1908. The Tunguska incident, where about hundreds of square miles of Russian forest was knocked down in a huge explosion. And some people think that might have been a comet that actually hit the Earth, or exploded right above the surface of the Earth, knocked down hundreds of square miles of Russian forest out in Siberia.
Hmm. Whoa.
Yeah.
1908 in Russia was before the revolution, too.
Sure was.
So you can't blame it on Stalin.
Well, no, actually, it was after the first revolution. It was after the 1905 revolution.
That's true. He's got a point there.
How many revolutions have they had?
Not enough. Three.
Seems like they're always having revolutions.
Well, if you count the last one, four. But
if you had drink liquor made from potato, you'd have more revolutions, too.
I guess. It's getting late here in the Queen City. It's 10 minutes until 4 o'clock, and you know on the tens, we got weather. And here's Rob Irvin with Chris and Rob Weather.
Don't say my last name.
Okay, Rob.
Where's the weather, dude? Here it is.
That's your job.
There you go.
Okay. Weather report for the day.
Oh, my God. It's going to be up to 80 to get today.
Great. Let's go swim.
Partly cloudy, high in the low 80s tonight. Showers likely, a low of 47 degrees. Currently on sunny romantic Waif Mountain, it is
57.
We'll call it 57-ish. That's your Accutron sophisticated Doppler forecast.
Or in metric.
It'd be what? 57 would be, I guess, like 12?
Probably, yeah.
Somewhere there?
Close up for government work. That'll work.
All right. Well, John, thanks for coming by.
No problem. Hey, I'll be here for a few minutes. Call. The number is 749-1444.
Do you like this? Did you like all the hoopla? Do you like being a celebrity?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Do you like having microphones shoved in your face and people asking you questions?
Sure.
And
I don't mind at all. It's a lot of fun.
Were you on any of the TV news?
All four of them.
Did you tape them all? Do you have them all? Now people come over to your house for a beer. You're like, hey, hold on. I'll go get you a Schlitz. Here, you might want to watch this.
No, I don't torture people like that. Nah.
Here's what you could do. This is what one of my friends who's in a band does.
Yeah. You'd be so nice to come home to. You'd be so nice by the fire, while the breeze on high.
The voice from the lady who looks as good as her voice sounds, that silky smooth voice, Julie London.
That's back when women were women.
And weren't afraid to show it either.
Well, that's not the good album even.
It's still a good record.
Okay. So what's coming up at the planetarium?
Well, let's see. Starting this coming Saturday at 1 and 3 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday is our planetarium show called Moon Dreams. And it talks about the myths of the moon, as well as it has a large part with Buzz Aldrin talking about what it was like to actually walk around and work on the moon.
Buzz is going to come in every day and give a lecture?
Well, it's pre-recorded. Yeah. It's a fully produced show. Then we also have shows going on by Laser Fantasy International, including Laser U2, Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon, Laser Zeppelin, And what's the other one?
Hendrix.
Oh, yeah. Hendrix is no longer on.
Oh, really?
He finished up last week. There's Laser, Sgt. Pepper's Laser Light Show.
That's the one you recommend, huh?
They're all great shows. And hopefully later on this summer, we get some new speakers in the planetarium. We hope to do like Metallica, Grateful Dead, some other groups.
Is it old U2 or new U2?
It covers old and new.
When are you going to get the Thin Lizzy Laser Show?
My assistant manager is bucking for a Queen show, so...
Yeah!
That would be great! Oh. Fat Bottom Girls, I wonder what kind of lasers you could do to that.
That'd be more than I possibly could comprehend.
Okay, well, thanks for coming down, and you make sure in the future you keep us updated...
You got it.
...as to all the astronomical events that we can see from Earth and even those that we can't. Because that stuff about discovering new galaxies is always pretty interesting, too.
Sure is.
Whenever a black hole sucks something up, man, that's news.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys.
Oh, you're welcome. We still got another hour and 4 minutes to go on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. The phone number here is 749-1444, and we'll take calls for a while. We're going to have a free ride coming up, aren't we, Rob?
Yeah, sure.
How long you want to do the free ride for tonight?
Oh, I don't care.
You got to care. You want to do a 60-minute free ride? You want to do a 45-minute free ride?
How much music do we have?
We got scads and scads of music.
Whatever. Whatever's good for you.
Stay tuned.